Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the J-Pop Jewels versus the World podcast. It's been a minute, but sometimes life be like that and makes you take breaks that you really don't want to take. But you got to do what you got to do. So, I am back, and this time I am solo. And the reason I am solo is because this episode is going to be entirely dedicated to the Batman, the recent Batman movie that came out from DC. And we're just going to jump off right here, right now. I'm going to give everybody who doesn't want to hear any spoilers, this is your chance to get out. I'm going to spend maybe a minute or two talking about non-spoiler stuff. I'm going to try to keep it as non-spoiler as possible. So if you want to listen to that, go ahead. But I make no promises that I'm going to not say something spoiler-based, because I normally don't do this. So this is your warning. There might be some spoilers, but once I get into hardcore spoiler stuff, I will once again let you know. I guess let's start off by saying I like the movie. I truly do. I went in expecting to feel lukewarm about the movie, but I actually really liked the movie. There were decisions that were made in the way characters were portrayed and the way the story was going to go that I didn't feel was what I would expect from Batman. It's not something I'd be like, oh, this is definitely Batman. This is definitely something that a Batman story would have. It was a little different, and while it was different, I felt it was different in a good way. I heard some people at the theater disagree, but fuck their opinion right now. We're talking about mine. But I felt it was good. Story-wise, I felt it was good. I felt like it dragged at certain points, but no movie is without sin. So if dragging a little bit is the worst thing about the movie, then so be it. I'd rather have a movie drag a little bit than be bad. The movie was dark. Not in a bad way, but dark in like Gotham is a dark place with fucked up shit happening. So it makes sense that the movie would be a little darker. You don't need no bright lights. This isn't a Marvel movie where stuff is comical. And it's another thing. I heard a lot of people complaining about, oh, Batman, it's so serious. There's no jokes. It's Batman. Batman typically isn't jokey. Like every now and then Batman will say something sarcastic or like slick or crack a joke, but Batman ain't known for cracking jokes. So there were no jokes in the movie. Well, there were funny points, but it wasn't like nobody was cracking jokes on purpose. It was just stuff happening that happened to be funny in that moment. But everything about the movie was pretty good. We've all seen the Riddler character, like his what he looks like. That's the only thing that I really disliked appearance wise. Robert Pattinson actually did a good job. And it pains me to say that, because I've never liked him in anything, like ever. So the fact that I actually liked him as Batman kind of bothers me a little bit. But it is what it is. I liked him as Batman. Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, I also felt was good. I felt like she was a little underutilized, but other than that, I felt like she was good. The depiction of Alfred, again, I felt like he was a little underutilized, but for the most part, I liked him as well. Their choice for Commissioner Gordon, I really like Commissioner Gordon and the way that they portray him and his use throughout the movie. I really liked it. I liked the movie's Commissioner Gordon a little more than I like the actual comic Commissioner Gordon, if I'm being completely honest. But that's about all I can say as far as non-spoilers. The movie is kind of long. It's almost 3 hours. Like I said, certain parts do feel like they drag. So that contributes to that 3-hour runtime. I feel like maybe the movie could have been like maybe 2.5, maybe a little less than 2.5 if they cut out some of the like more draggy parts. But it is what it is. Artistic vision, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. Overall, good movie. I would give it somewhere between a 7 to an 8.5. I would have to go back and see it again. Just like, because when you first see it, it's like that new, oh my gosh, first impression. And it's the second time where you're really looking at it a little more critically. And you can be like, all right, this was good, this was not, and just break it down that way. But as of right now, I think I'd give it an 8. Yeah, I'd give the movie an 8. Solid 8. Okay. Now that we've gotten the non-spoiler stuff out of the way, time for spoilers, kids. Anybody doesn't want spoilers, I need you to get out. Like, right now. Leave. Turn off the podcast. You want to mute it and just let it play so that, like, I can get the views and you don't have to hear it. Do that. But seriously, if you don't want spoilers, leave now, because I'm going off about a lot of stuff. Just feelings and thoughts full. So, first things first, they DC fucked themselves. DC has made it known that they are doing Flashpoint as part of their Flash movie, and Flashpoint basically rewrites universes. In the comics, it rewrites the universe, and we have no reason to believe that it's not going to rewrite the universe in the DC cinematic universe. So, as far as we know, this movie could effectively not happen, which fucking sucks because it was really good. It's early year Batman. This is year 2 of him being Batman. He's still angry and just beating the shit out of people because he hasn't learned that sometimes you need a delicate touch. Sometimes you don't have to be the fucking hard-ass Dark Knight terrorizing people and only using fear, and fear is the only way. He hasn't learned that there's another way yet, so that's what he's doing. And that's why in the trailers, like, everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's so violent. Yes, because that's where he is in life. Like, he's angry and full of rage. He's a loaded gun and he's just firing at people. Like, there's no control, there's no restraint. He's just going full on beating the shit out of people, and that was good for what it is. It's year 2 of Batman. He's not that, like, veteran controlled Batman that we're used to seeing in comics and that we're used to seeing in other movies. Now, that being said, that also contributes, in my opinion, to the dynamic between him and Riddler. It takes him a while to get some of Riddler's riddles and decipher some of Riddler's clues. And I feel like that also is because he's not as intelligent as we expect Batman to be. Because, again, this is early Batman. This is year 2. He's not all there. He's not that great detective. I mean, he does do some detecting, but it's not on the level of what we would normally see from Batman. A lot of people were complaining about how much non-violence was in the movie. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of times where it's Batman deciphering clues or trying to make sense of something, or he's tailing someone, or he's spying on someone. And I appreciate those things being included in the movie, because Batman isn't just a martial arts expert that beats the shit out of people. He is a detective. He trails people sometimes. Sometimes he has to sit there and decipher who's, like, these are things that he does in the comics. But in the comics, they don't take up that much space because, you know, it's just a few quick panels and then you're on to the next thing. But when you're in a movie, you have to show it, and it might take, like, a few minutes. And I guess some people don't like that, but it's a necessary thing that needs to happen to show that Batman is a detective and that he's not just a murder hobo going around beating the shit out of people. So, with that, he's not on the level of what he is going to be, hopefully, in the future, if they don't write this fucking movie out of existence with Flashpoint. Because in the movie, Gordon isn't actually a commissioner. He's Lieutenant Gordon. He hasn't been promoted yet, but he's working with Batman, and they have a kind of close relationship to the point where Gordon's, like, walking him into crime scenes, and the other cops are just like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, yo, he's with me. It's fine. And he's literally just walking Batman into crime scenes. So that relationship is there, even though they're both young. Which is nice, because that means if this movie exists, we could see that relationship develop, which would be great, because we've never seen that relationship actually develop fully throughout movies. I mean, the Batman Begins trilogy, like, that, we kind of saw it develop, but I feel like this relationship was better than that one by leaps and bounds. But moving forward, I want to talk about Riddler, and Riddler's entire, the entirety of Riddler. This Riddler is not Riddler from the comics or Riddler from the animated series. I will admit that I have not read that many Riddler stories from the comics, but from what I have seen, this Riddler was fucking unhinged. Like, he is just murdering people. Just left. Every time Riddler's on the screen, he's killing someone. Somebody is dying, and I feel like they kind of mixed two characters together for this Riddler, because obviously the leaving clues and puzzles for people to solve, that's Riddler. But I also felt that he had a little bit of the Batman villain Hush in him in a way, but not fully. It's really hard to explain. But like, because even in the end, when you find out the reason why he's doing what he's doing, it's like they kind of took Hush's origins and just kind of altered it. Because who Hush was Hush was another child of a wealthy Gothamite that arranged for his parents to be killed, but his parents were saved by Bruce's parents, therefore making it so that Hush could not inherit his family's wealth when he wanted to. And he just held this hatred for Bruce and his family because of it. And it's kind of similar here in the sense that the Riddler in this movie was an orphan who was in a shitty orphanage, because orphanages are shitty, especially in Gotham. And Thomas Elliot was supposed to be giving money to help situations like that, but Thomas Elliot died, and then the money just went to shit because greedy ass motherfuckers in Gotham. And the Riddler just he took that personally, and he blamed Thomas for it for some reason. And they kind of make it make sense until it doesn't, because okay, we're gonna back up a little bit. The entire thing is that there was this renewal fund that Thomas Wayne was supposed to be setting up to help make changes to Gotham. The entire story revolves around the fact that this renewal fund hasn't been working and hasn't helped fix Gotham, and they don't really tell you why. And as the story goes on, Riddler is just killing all these people who are seemingly good people. You got district attorneys, police commissioners, just people of that ilk. And it's just like, why are you doing this? And as you go on, you find out these people are all dirty. And at the end, it turns out that, yes, Thomas Wayne set this up. Yes, he did. But when he was setting it up and then running for mayor so that he could put it into effect, this reporter found out some dirt about his wife, and he wanted to cover it up. So he went to his friend, Carmine Falcone, and was like, hey, can you just like scare this guy a little bit so he won't put out this story? I've tried bribing him, but it's not working. So Falcone goes, and instead of doing that, Falcone just kills the guy and then tries to use it as blackmail against Thomas Wayne. And then Thomas Wayne turns around. He's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. I'm just going to the cops. We going to just squash this. I'm just going to the cops. And then he turns up dead because, you know, Bruce is not allowed to have parents. So after Thomas died, everybody involved in the city at all, everybody that was big, all the district attorneys, judges, police commissioners, everybody, including Falcone, they all made a just break for the money. So the money disappeared. And that's basically the issue with Riddler. He's like, yo, that money was supposed to help things, but it didn't, because Gotham's corrupt and fucked up, and Thomas didn't actually fix anything because his money just went to fucking line people's pockets. And that's Riddler's entire issue. And that's kind of where, like, it makes sense until you come to the point where he's just very against Bruce. Because Bruce didn't actually do anything, and neither did Thomas, actually. like, they didn't actually do anything to fuck up the situation. It was everybody that had a hand in it after Thomas died. And if you do want to put Bruce at fault, when Bruce grew up, maybe he should have done something with his money to help, but he didn't. I'm not sure if that's death worthy, because he does try to kill Bruce at one point in the movie, but that's neither here nor there. But like, the Riddler, while the him just going around killing people isn't what I normally expect from Riddler, I'm fine with it in this movie. Like, I feel like it fits and it works. And it's not like it's like lame killing. Like, the first killing, I it's funny because you're watching and he's in the guy's house and he's just like standing there in the shadows, and he's standing there for what in real life would probably be 5 fucking minutes, and he is like 3 or 4 feet behind this guy, and this guy is just not noticing. And I'm just in the theater like, how do you not feel this man standing behind you? I mean, come on, man. He's right there. Just turn around. You could have saved your own life. But the way he's killing them, the way he's setting it up, all that is just, it's very well done in my opinion. It's not exactly Riddler-like, because again, this isn't a one-for-one transference of Riddler, but this version of Riddler, it all works in my opinion. Penguin is also in the movie. They have him as an underling, which is typically how Penguin starts. Penguin wasn't just big bad guy from the beginning. He was kind of like an under... He wasn't that big, but as the movie goes on, he ends up coming more and more to the forefront, and by the end of the movie, he is a big force. His actor was good as well. My personal bias, because I grew up with the animated series, I kind of would have preferred him to be shorter, but it is what it is. So Penguin was good. There are some little characters that are in there, like police characters that appear in the comics every now and then that I noticed. Catwoman? I want to talk about Catwoman a little bit, because we've had, I think, 3 or 4 different versions of Catwoman. There was the Catwoman from the original Batman, the Catwoman from the Batman Begins Batman, and also Halle Berry Catwoman, and now we have this Catwoman. I honestly feel like from a looks standpoint, the character, like the outfit design, this Catwoman was kind of meh. Like, she had the cat suit, like her suit, like her bodysuit, that was nice. But her mask was like a modified like ski mask, which was weird, and just, it was a little off-putting, but like not off-putting enough to make me hate it, but it was just like, why? Like, why? I don't get it. Like, we couldn't have gotten her like an actual mask like Batman's, but all right, I guess. Like I said, she's a little underutilized, but when she's fighting, she kicks ass. So this Catwoman does kick ass, but she's just not in the movie fighting as much. She does do some kind of undercover, covert, I'm wearing a wire for Batman type stuff for a little bit. That was, I feel like she played that very well. Like, that was done very well in a way that Catwoman, being young and inexperienced at being Catwoman, would do. It's also a little bit of a change on her origins, as far as I'm aware, because in the movie she is Carmine Falcone's daughter, which, to the best of my knowledge, she's not in the comics. So that was a little bit of a change that, again, it didn't mess anything up. I don't have a problem with it. It was just different. But I feel like it was different in a good way. It gave her a little bit of character depth and a little bit of emotional... just a little bit of emotional logic to her actions, which I also appreciated. I'm going to now talk about what I feel was the thing that makes me upset in regards to the movie. So Batman figures everything out. He ends up catching Riddler, and they throw him in jail because Riddler's done what he wanted to do. End all be all, he's wanted to kill everybody that was involved with the renewal stuff. And he does. He kills everybody that was involved. He kills the DA. He kills the police commissioner. There was one other guy he killed. I forget who it was. And he also manages to kill Carmine Falcone. And after all that, he basically just kind of gives up. And then he's talking to Batman. He requests Batman's presence at his at Arkham. And then Batman goes and sees him. And Riddler kind of... Well, Batman's fucking with Riddler, first of all. And then Riddler reveals that there's something else that's supposed to happen. And it's revealed to Riddler at that point that Batman had no idea what he was talking about. And then, obviously, Batman wants to know. But Riddler's like, you're not as smart as I thought you were. Get the fuck out of here. So then Batman has to go and he has to figure out what's going on. And what's going on is that Riddler has decided he's going to fucking destroy Gotham. And he has previously set up bombs to destroy Gotham's, I think it was the seawalls is what they called it. And basically he was going to flood Gotham. And he's going to flood Gotham, which is going to cause everybody to converge at the city center inside, it's Madison Square Garden. Like, they call it Gotham Square Garden, but it's Madison Square Garden. And they all gather, everybody's going to gather there, and then the followers that Riddler somehow amassed are going to be in there with fucking rifles and are going to just fucking kill everybody because reasons. Fucking nuts. But I love it. So that happens, and obviously Batman, he manages to stop the killing. The flooding happens. Gotham gets fucking flooded, which I was shocked. I was not expecting that to happen. Once it got revealed that was Riddler's plan, I was like, all right, how is Batman gonna stop this? And he doesn't. Right as he's learning that that's what the plan is, that's when the bombs go off and the flooding starts. And I couldn't believe that it. I was just sitting in the theater like, oh my gosh, they lost. Batman lost. Gotham's flooded. Everybody's fucked. But he manages to get to Madison Square Garden. He gets inside. He manages to take out the gunman. However, the person who was mayor, because the other person that died was the incumbent mayor. So the incumbent mayor died. That was the other person that died. So now you have the woman who is their mayor because the other guy died. They were trying to kill her. She gets shot, but she's basically the only person of any consequence to get shot. She doesn't die though, because somehow with her standing at a podium and them having a perfectly lined up shot, they don't take a kill shot. They just shoot her in the side or the upper chest or whatever. They're horrible shots. People fucking suck. So he takes them out. Catwoman also shows up to help because they're not letting anybody out of the city because it's fucking flooding. You can't leave. So Catwoman ends up there. She ends up helping. Gordon ends up there. He comes at the end to stop Batman from fucking beating this guy to death because this guy was going to kill Catwoman. And Batman had to inject himself with what I am assuming was either at a shot of adrenaline or... This is my I want sequel mind going. He might have injected himself with Venom, the substance that Bane uses to jack himself up and get massively big and powerful. But regardless, Batman got shot with a shotgun, and that's why he had to do it, so that he could like get up and save Catwoman. But at the end of the movie, there's a monologue from Batman about how things are going to get worse in the city before they get better, because in the areas that you can't get to easily, crime is going to start to like rise. And on top of that, now Falcone's gone, there's going to be a power struggle and there are people that are going to rise up, and they show Penguin. So you're like, oh shit, here comes Penguin. And you're also thinking about everybody else they could possibly bring in. You got Penguin, you need a new DA, Harvey Dent can pop up. You also have all the other villains that could pop up, like Scarecrow and the Mad Hatter. And this is the real thing that makes me upset, and I'm going to explain why I'm upset. They show Riddler in jail, and Riddler is upset. He's livid that his plan didn't work, that Gotham is fine, that Gotham's going to recover because the people that needed to die didn't die. And while he's freaking out in his cell, he's being talked to by someone in the next cell, and it's the fucking Joker. They put a Joker in this movie, and there's no way it's not Joker, because he talks about being a clown and the laughing, and just, they put Joker in this movie. And on top of putting Joker in the movie, at the end, Batman's monologue says that he can't just be vengeance, that that doesn't always get it done, that fear isn't always the right way to handle things, and that sometimes you need to be something that people look up to, that you need to be the hope of the people. And that's Batman becoming the Batman that we know from the comics and from the earlier movies. Now, let me explain my upsetness about this. This is one of the first DC movies since the MCU came into existence, with DC trying to emulate the MCU model, that I feel works and is good. I was not a fan of the Superman movies. I felt like they were not in the right direction as far as Superman goes. I was okay with Wonder Woman. Aquaman was meh. But that's about it. We haven't really had anything else. The Justice League movie, the Zack Snyder verse, the Snyder cut, good. It worked. But nothing else around it did. Superman outside, even Superman in that movie didn't feel in character. Superman hasn't felt in character in the DC cinematic universe. Wonder Woman sometimes feels, and she didn't really feel in character to me in Batman versus Superman. She only really felt in character in certain parts of Justice League and in her own movie. By the way, I haven't seen the second Wonder Woman movie, and I don't think I will, because it just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't look appealing to me. I can't really explain it. But aside from that, they really haven't had that many movies that work connectively and portray the characters in a good way. And this movie can't even tie to those movies because it's a completely different Batman. Now, if their plan is to take the Flash movie and have the Flash movie wipe out everything or wipe out certain things before this Batman, like it wipe out the old Batman and make this Batman the new Batman, then fine. That's great. Have this Batman with Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman and Jason Momoa's Aquaman. Okay, that works. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to keep the guy that does Superman being Superman, but if they do, I feel like they need to make him more like Superman in the comics. Like, he doesn't have to be exactly like Superman in the comics, but they have to, he has to be more of a light of the world, more of a hope, more of a Boy Scout than he was in the Man of Steel movie. Because, you know, just, like, I am very much understanding of the, some of Superman's villains need to die. I am in agreement with that, but Superman himself isn't the type to kill them, and that's what the issue with me is with Superman. But I'm just really upset because this movie was just so good, and it seems like it's not going to stand up, and it's not going to be, I feel like this movie could be what Iron Man was for the MCU. I feel like this movie could be that building block that DC uses to build a universe on top of. You could build around this. You have a vigilante who was feared and just hated by the people in politics and the people in the police office. Just, they didn't like this. They didn't like him because he was just always terrorizing people. He's using fear. But by the end of the movie, they've come to appreciate him. They've come to like him. They come to view him as a light of something that can be something that could bring somebody who can bring hope to a city that is just completely in the shitter. Before the movie, it's in the shitter, and by the end of the movie, it is just, it's not even in the shitter anymore. Like, it's down in the pipes. Like, somebody's flushed it. The Gotham is going to the sewer. It's halfway there. Speaking of sewers, the city's flooded. Killer Croc could show up. Who knows? Like, there's just so many possibilities that might not get explored because they might just wipe this movie out of existence with the Flashpoint movie. And I just, there are very few things that they could do with the Flashpoint movie that would make me more upset than if I was to find out that this movie in the long run means nothing for their universe. Like, in my head, the perfect setup of the DC cinematic universe: Gal Gadot stays as Wonder Woman. Jason Momoa stays as Aquaman. I feel like they're both good as those characters. Ezra Miller stays as Flash. I like him as Flash, or I did in the Justice League movie, but I need to see more. I'm not fully committed to him, but I want to see more of him. As much as it hurts me to say, I do like Robin Patterson as Batman, so I want him to stay. I want this version of Batman to stick because I like it. And he just needs, if they just flash forward, or not even flash forward, they can just like let time progress, just like how in the Marvel Universe time progressed and characters changed a little bit and matured. Just let that happen, and then this Batman will get more in line with the Batman we know and love from comics, and that'll make it work. And you can do the same thing with Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and just let them develop into the characters that we know and love from the comics, or have them grow and develop into their own characters in their own universe. Just make it make sense and just stick with that. You can't throw these characters away when they're working. All these characters are working. The only one that may or may not be working for them right now really is Superman. Because Superman is, like, people were really hot and cold on Superman. Some people were okay with it, a lot of people, and some people just weren't. But you need to stick with one plan. Stop changing the plan. Stop just jumping all over the place. And another thing that they really need to do is they need to get behind Suicide Squad and let Suicide Squad be, like, I feel like they haven't hard committed to Suicide Squad being part of that universe. And they really need to, because there's so much that can happen with those, with the characters I just mentioned in Suicide Squad. This version of Batman going up against Suicide Squad, this Batman's Joker having had any kind of dealing with Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad, perfect. It would have worked. It would have worked from what I saw of this Joker so far. And this Batman, yeah, he would have been the super violent type of Joker to deal with Harley Quinn's, to deal with Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn's Joker. Like, it all works. I want them to stay on this path. Let Flashpoint wipe out the old Batman, the old Superman, and replace them with this new Batman and a new Superman. I'm honestly not entirely sure how they would make it work story-wise, but I mean, at this point, that's kind of what you have to do. You're not having Ben Affleck come back as Batman, so Batman's going to be wiped out anyway. There's really no way around it. The only, I can't think of a way around it. And you released this Robert Pattinson Batman movie. What are you going to do with him? You're just going to have that be out in no man's land? Like, that's its own separate universe? That's kind of, that's a problem. You can't have the Wonder Woman, because Aquaman's getting a second movie and Flash is getting a movie, so you're gonna have this Flash movie and this Aquaman movie, and it has jack shit to do with Batman. Well, that makes no sense. You also have Black Adam. Is Black Adam gonna have nothing to do with this? And I don't know how this is related, but I saw a clip of Dr. Fate. So is Dr. Fate also not going to be related to this? Like, you can't have all these toys that are supposed to be in the same toy box and then just be like, no, these toys are in this toy box. We see this toy right here. We're going to throw this toy all the way over there in the fucking corner. Nobody touch it. Nobody interact with it. It is not allowed to play with the other toys. Fuck that toy. It is on its own. Like, that just wouldn't make sense. So they're probably not going to do it, but in my opinion, the best thing they could do is find some way to make it so that Flashpoint writes Robert Pattinson's Batman into the universe, and he becomes the Batman for the DC universe going forward in the cinematic universe. If they even choose to go forward with it, because if I'm being completely honest, I don't know how much longer the superhero movie craze is going to last. I mean, Marvel's entering phase four. They're in phase four. They're probably going to roll in the X-Men and the Fantastic Four, but once you get past phase four and into phase five, I mean, there aren't that many things that they can do movie-wise, in my opinion. They can bring in Galactus. That can be a thing. They can bring in Kang the Conqueror. That can be a thing. The Celestials have been introduced. They can bring in stuff in regards to the Celestials and all the fucking bullshit the Celestials pull, but how much longer we got? I mean, if phase four goes into 2023 and 2024, okay, so that's 2 years. Let's say phase five gets you another 3 years, 3 or 4 years. So now we're looking at, I was talking 2024, 2027, 2028 for phase five. What are you going to do for phase six? I mean, they seem like right now that Blade is going to show up, and we have Morbius showing up too in his own movie. So let's say we get Marvel movies all the way to 2030. That works for Marvel because Marvel's already established. DC isn't hard established. And even if they do get hard established, I don't know what DC would even do. They failed to introduce canonically Darkseid in the Justice League movie that they're claiming is canon. Darkseid does not appear. They don't know about Darkseid, which they would need to do for the Justice League to take on Darkseid. Because you don't just go take on Darkseid. There are steps to this. Because you just go to take on Darkseid, he whoops your ass. So they just can't do that. And also, there are other things that need to, you can't just jump to Darkseid. Like, Darkseid is the Thanos of DC. The Avengers didn't just take on Thanos. Like, there were steps to that. Like, the Justice League needs to face Lex Luthor. The Justice League needs to face, like, Brainiac. The Justice League needs to actually face Doomsday. Like, there are steps to this. Things that they would need to do that they just don't have established. And I don't know if they're going to have time, based on the public interest, to actually set this up. Like, Marvel jumped in at a sweet spot and took advantage of an interest that was there. I don't think DC has the time, because I feel like we might be getting superhero movied out. Like, I don't know how much longer the superhero movie craze is going to last. I really do feel like we're getting to the point where, just like with Westerns, it's kind of going to start to fade out, because the public isn't going to be as interested, because there's only so many times that you can one-up yourself before it just starts to be boring. But yeah, that's my take on it. That's my take on, I guess I gave you more than one take. I gave you my take on the Batman movie, gave you my take on the state of the DC cinematic universe, and I gave you my take on hero movies in general. I just think that we might be reaching the end. Now, I'm not saying the interest in comics is going to go. I'm just saying that the interest in the movies themselves are going to go, because also some of these actors are coming up on the end of their contracts, and some of these actors are getting kind of old. I mean, how much longer are we going to have Samuel L. Jackson playing Nick Fury? Man can't do it forever. But yeah, that's it for me for today. So I will see you guys next time. Hopefully in the next episode, I'll be back with Yasmin and Rachel. And going forward, we can get some other people too. But yeah, that's it for now. So I'll see you guys in the next episode.